So we're holding here Perek HaRoah, yeah?
Yeah.
Chayav Adam Levorich Ala Roah Kishem Shavorach Ala Toiva Shem Vaftas Hashem Lekecha B'chol Avovcho B'shnei Tzarecho B'yitzatoi V'yitzara. So it says V'hafta. Are we on?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, it started flickering before. I don't know what. Okay. So it says V'shnei Tzarecho B'yitzatoi V'yitzara. Hare ki odam eina magia la dveikus bo yisparach shenirmas bo shema hafta shem lekecha rak im izgab al yitzroi vaz dovek bo yisparach legamri. So the vahafta is miskayim by the b'chol avavcha, and therefore so long as a person has something else yitzara is still something that is he's not dovek on shparach. Rakim is Gabba Yitzhak was dog for his work legami. Who Pussig Vahafta as Hashem Kev Holovoch, Shetzerach and Nema Achakabos Macha Shamayim, Kibezeshu Goival Yitzhak Mesalako say who me Achir Hashem is off legami, which is Boyle Maila. So he says, so the key of after Hashem Kecha Holovoch, Holnashcho, Holmoidecha is the key of Hashem Echon. In other words, one might have understood the Psukim to read as follows. First thing is affirming that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. That's Shema Yisrael Rechot, and that's done. And now, once I'm confirmed that, once I've established that, then the next point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore I should now try to be Oyevim Cholibim, and so on and so forth. He's teaching it differently, that the practical expression of Hashem Echad is the B'chol Avavcho Chol Nav Chol Meidecha. Let's look at it at the simple pshat. If there is nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I say, and yet my Maisim are focused on other focal points, then I'm sort of and putting it to the lie. I'm saying, well, there's nothing like throughout this world, but I'm not mukhan to give up my life for it. I'm not mukhan to give up my wealth or all my middos, whatever Chol Moed Echad, and I'm not mukhan, I still have a Yetzirah to me. So that's making a statement that I still would like some other things. That's the push-up shot. That's what he's saying over here. Let's just add one more nekuda, sort of one more illustration of it. If let's say when he talks about v'shnei tzarecho v'yitzatoi v'yitzahara, so that a person should work on himself and not crave other things. So certainly, when it's a problem, I happen to crave something I should eat, and so that craving is very physical thing, and the level of avoda involved requires a level of avoda that is learning how to break cravings and habits and things of that nature. And a person who doesn't manage to do it is not in any way we wouldn't say in any way that this person is not a maimon enough or whatever. But let's take another example. A person can, so for instance, a person saw something that he shouldn't have seen and he has a big taiva. So that taiva is very physical, very natural, and so on. Let's say a person has no, he's now in a situation where he has no taiva. But life is boring, uninteresting, he feels he's missing out on something. He's going to find something to arouse his taiva. So now that's a statement of, let's call it, perspective of life. What I'm making a statement is that I don't have a taiva now, but life without taivas is terrible. The only life that's worth having is a life with taivas. So if I don't have to have a taiva now, let me go out and find some taivas so that I can live a full life. It's like when we talk about when somebody goes shopping. So a person needs a shirt, and he goes and buys a shirt. So that's fine, that's normal. But you hear somebody say, well, I can't think of anything I need, but you know what, I'll go shopping anyway, and I'll look around and see what there is. Well, what does that mean? That means that there's, you know, the purchasing itself is a gratifier in its own right, because maybe there are things that I could whet my appetite, and then I will go for it. The same thing is, so if a person is not b'chol avochi, doesn't include his yitzhara in terms of eradicating yitzhara, and we're not talking about the level, the harder level, where a person has a physical taiva for something and he has to sort of draw away from it. That's difficult, but that's on a physical level. We're talking more on a perspective of what are activities worth pursuing. And over there, if a person says, well, I need to whet my appetite, because if I have the appetite, I'm not going to indulge in A, B, or C, and what's life worth if I can't indulge in A, B, or C, that's the person's hashkaf is problematic. This is the pashto pshat in what he's saying over here, that all these things are kiyumim of it. I'd like to hear a little bit of a deeper nature in what he's saying. In the statement that you don't get to dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu rak im hiskav al yitzroi. Before we go deeper, let's finish up the previous thought. So if a person has in himself an other drive as well, that means that his drive is not totally focused on Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's some sort of chitzah between himself and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just like sometimes you talk to somebody and you see that the person's mind is preoccupied. So I can talk to the person, but the person's mind is not here. And thereby, when I talk to the person is kind of, his ability to be totally absorbed in what I'm saying, and vice versa, is hampered by the fact that there's a boundary between me and him. There's something else going on. So anytime you have something else, that creates a chitzitza, and it doesn't allow for me totally to be devoted, not in definition and not practically. So if a person has he has one friend and he's totally committed to him, that word total commitment really is meaningful. But if, let's say, I have two very close friends, so I can't say I'm totally committed to A or totally committed to B. I'm very committed to each one, but the fact that I need to spend time, heart, energy, or if there's a conflict between them, choose between two, tells me that this is not everything. And as such, it's something that is shteris to dveikus, and for dveikus you need to have exclusive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclusively in your heart and mind. That's the Kuda 1. I'd like to understand this a little bit more deeply. He's saying that it's only So let's refer, I guess since it's sort of Erev Shavuos, let's refer to a famous Chazal. It says, this Chazal says a few places with some changes, and I wanted, the one I'm using now is from the Yalkut, but he just had, there's one or two things there that you don't have in the other sheet, that's in the other Medrashim where it's brought. You have Moshe Rabbeinu coming up to Shemayim, trying to get the Torah down, Malachim being very annoyed and wanting to burn him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to hold on to his Kisei HaKavod, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, okay, answer them. What does it say? It says, "Klum leMitzrayim, you're out of them. The parish of out of them. Torah lomel lechelchem." It says, "Well, there's an address." It says, "Zeh Hashem Kerosh Hazim Mitzrayim." You cannot relate to the God that took you out of Mitzrayim. Shuv Maiksibe leLochem Achirim. Ben Kusim Atzayin leLilim. Are you near Kusim? Shuv Maiksibe Zochem Hashav Zekat Shklum Atoyisim Lachshon Tzirushkus. And where's the melacha? Shuv ma'ik sivla sisa klum asmatin shpnechem. Shuv ma'ik sivbe kawir savicha vasimecha klum abbe meshachem. Shuv ma'ik sivbe lo sizach lo sinav lo signav klum yitzahari ish benechem. V'chazir v'hoi deloi lakad shpoch shem Hashem alayim ha'ashem kuchol ha'aretz. So, we have here a vikuach, and I understand all the first rebuttals make a lot of sense. It says kavod sivach simcha. Well, malachim don't have fathers and mothers. How do you mechabed them? There are no avodah zarah. What's the point of giving you a tzivah against avodah zarah? There's not one blessed avodah zarah to be found in the whole shemaim and so on. But the last one, he says, Mike sivay lo sitzach lo sinav lo signer. Chlum yesh yitzahara b'neichem. Do you have a yitzahara? Well, why don't you say you don't have objects to steal? Why don't you just say there are no women? I don't know if malachim come in women form or not, but or maybe in a filim, I don't know. Le'sitzach, I'm not aware that a malach could be killed. I don't know what the appropriate way of executing a malach is. I mean, the same language that we have in the beginning of Anochi and so on. Why don't you have it over there? Applies across the board. It applies to everything. So why don't you say klum yesh yitzahara? The answer is, it's applying to the last ones only. Well, they all have their own. They all have their own items application. Tinaf and Geneva and Ritzicha certainly klum yesh by malachim. And the other hand, let's say kibud aveim, could have also said klum yesh yitzahara. If we're going klum yesh yitzahara, we could have spoken to all of them and said, you know, what do you want a Torah for? Klum yesh yitzahara. Why is it on these that the answer is klum yesh yitzahara? So, so I think the pshat is like this. It says in Gemara in Kedushin that if a person sits and doesn't do an aver, it's as if he did a mitzvah. So in the world of Schag, we understand that a lot of times it's much tougher to refrain from doing aver than for doing a mitzvah, and therefore it's sort of a schafit and so on. But in Emes Lamitoy, how could not doing be an accomplishment? And the answer is like this. When a person is forced to lift heavy items, his muscles develop, and he brings to the fore kochos that he did not know or feel that he had before, and they come developed through the pull he does. So in the realm of Yetzirah, wherever a person has a powerful urge to do something, no matter where it's coming from, it's the refraining from it is a pa'ula. I need to exert mental and emotional force and bring out kochos in myself that I didn't know I have, and thereby establish in myself certain amitios, certain truths that I didn't have before. So for instance, imagine, let's take an example, imagine a person does not have a problem of, he was a wealthy person, he had no problem of stealing. He didn't need the loose change laying around. So he doesn't steal, but he certainly doesn't get the toelas or the impact of not stealing loose change when he doesn't need loose change is minimal. If a person is struggling, literally a dollar more, a dollar less makes a difference of what type of meal he has. So struggling not to take loose change that's not his becomes an extremely positive understanding. It's something that the person and learns and understands the musig of honesty in the struggle with not taking something that's not his. So in the Yetzirah itself, by his presence of pushing towards A, and our struggle to get away from it, actually between that is where we get a what's the right word for it? Where we have a positive act of establishing emes. The struggle with bed, besides bringing out the kohos in a person, like you said, the struggle with bed also, if successful, establishes in a person an emes and a metzias that the same given without the struggle wouldn't have established. So we have a whole new understanding of where the Yetzirah comes into the picture. The Yetzirah is the Yetzirah is part of a person's leva, part of a person's desire apparatus, want apparatus, and so on, is the Yetzirah. And when the person, and every person has in himself, quote unquote, two hearts that he struggles with. A part of me wants to have a good life, and therefore indulging in everything I could possibly indulge is what makes me. And another part of me wants to have a ruchnistic life, and recognizes that the only thing that's good in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, and so on, and that's what it wants. So I start off with two levels. In the struggle to suppress one lev and or be mahafach him to toiv lies the understanding of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's echod, that things that appear to be pleasurable but the Torah asks of them don't ever lead to something that's tov. So there's a realization of emes in the struggle with it as much as there is in doing its assessing. So the luchas are divided into two halves. The first half is more deals with mitzvahs that are establishing certain amitios. So anocha shem lekecha lo yelachim acherim, and so on. They're like shvua sheker. Those are all things that are amitios. So of course there's a yetzer of some sort, obviously, because or else everybody would be maminim and they maminim. We all them and whatever would be maminim. So there's obviously there are all sorts of things that push a person, pull a person away. But it would be the avoda of it would be shayach to malachim, except that there's no need for it in terms of establishing emes. The emes is bara, and that's that. The on the other hand, the other averes, like ritzicha, gneva, niyuf, those are not chidushim that the Torah is mechadish mitzad de tov. The idea of not stealing, of not killing, of not being noif, is not a chidush akra. This is true in every sense of. This is an emes in every sense of the word in the world. But what makes it so the first five we need to establish as amitios, and therefore malachim, since there is no alternative, no point for it, and that's what we say to them, that's what we said to them. The next two or three, they're the ones that it's not the establishment of ritzicha that it's bad, or gneva that it's bad, or niyuf that it's bad, that's important. What's important is to establish it as a as something in our nefesh, that our nefesh should not be craving for it, but to uproot the craving for our nefesh by replacing that craving with the craving to be taif. So in that deher, where I took things that nominally belonged to the sidracha, belong to the other world, and converting it, that becomes the learning process of Akash Baruch being echad. So it's a very big difference when we answer the malachim when they come to us with a taina. You know, when we're referring the sefer divis to them, the first part to the last part. The first part, we're just saying the reality of the Torah doesn't fit you. You know, you have to say Hashem kecha asher tzicha me'atz Mitzrayim. He wasn't mighty me'atz Mitzrayim. There is no avodah zarah, so what's the point of giving nes avodah zarah? That's dealing with more the surface and technical issues. Here we're dealing about the nafshistik issues. B'chol loisirtzach loisinov loisignov. Those are all dinim that are shayach. Those are all things that we have a part of us that yearns for it, that wants it. You know, obviously, each in its own time, its own place. But it's something that, and by overriding that part, by the herring that there is nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the only Tainug is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Hashlama of the whole. Of b'chol ma'idecha, b'chol levavcha. So b'chol levavcha is attained only when there's a yitzahara, and like he says over here, you only have it, and I'm able to be oikar yitzahara for myself. When I had a yearning and a craving for something, and by recognizing it as being invalid and something that really gives a person nothing, that's where I accomplish the validation of nothing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what the first part of Asayas HaDibris is to a person's nefesh and das, the confirmation of certain truths, I don't want to say intellectual truths is the right word for it, but that type of inyan. So in the same way there is confirmation of the truth in terms of a person's tshuka and cheshek, that a person's internal self, his desires and cravings, should only be going in one direction. And we deher that dafka when we have the potential of two, and we overcame it and left with one. So the Chazal over here are telling us, and the Chazal over there, when they speak about klum yesh yitzahor b'neichem, is not that you don't need the Torah, but you're not capable of being mekayim. Since you don't have yitzahor, malachim also refrain from doing bad things. But since they don't have a Yitzhahara, their refraining from doing bad things does not produce any positive good. No good comes out of it. But when it says the Fum Tzaira Agra, it's not just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nice person, and, you know, so, listen, he recognizes that for Yankel, who has very little Yitzhahara, and Beryl, who has a phenomenal Yitzhahara, so Beryl should get some compensation for it. It's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compensation policy that the people who work hard get compensated most. Be'etzem, the person who struggled to be makir that A is worthless and only B is true is going to be the person that got something out of it. The compensation is the struggle. Because in the struggle, the person dehairs the right from the wrong, and he dehairs the right in all its emes. So that was the reason why that was Moshe Rabbeinu's tied to them, and this is what he says over here, that somebody does not reach the veikus rak in miskabal yitzray. if a person is Slavic Yisro, that's when it can be Dovid to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to add in line with this another knach to it.
Okay,
yes.
What's the pshat in the Nephilim? And the Malachim came to earth and they just fell off? What's this? They were Malachim, right?
Yes, yes. It's a very, very mysterious parsha. In other words, we know nothing about it except what it says in the Pasuk, basically. Very, very wrapped in mystery. But basically, I mean, I guess if you can give a mashal for it, the best mashal would be somebody who grows up in a society where it's a completely insulated environment and there's nothing coming in, no bacteria or germs, anything. The day he's thrust into outside environment, he really, really gets very sick. Where somebody grew up in filth and stuff like that, many of them might die, but the people who are living are not threatened by anything. The Pashup Shah and the Pasuk is, when you take Brias al Yoinim and you bring them out to Tachtayim and they don't have Tzuras Adam, they don't have what Adam has to help him maneuver that. They that Bria itself does not stand the test of this world. So it doesn't mean we're superior to them in a sense. It just means because we live in a different environment and in some ways inferior. Just like the poor guy who's being exposed to all sorts of germs, in that aspect is healthier than a person that's completely sort of pure environment. This would be the same also. That's the parasha of the Nephilim. It's really a very mysterious parasha. But going back to the pasuk over here to the point, he says, "Are Adam in a Megillah Dvekus by Yisporach, Rakim Iskabal Yitzray." I don't know if he means what I'm about to say now, but I think there's an emes to it also. A person to be mizdabik to something, to somebody, that you want to be mistabic to, that you love, admire, etc., is an extremely pleasurable experience. To be mistabic to the person in every level, whether physical, whatever, but the closeness to somebody that I admire and like is very, very pleasurable. So every time I meet a great friend of mine or somebody I really like, I'm very, very happy and all smiles and really nice. So I'll ask the following shayla, following klutz kasha. My hand is the thing I want most, and my hand is attached to me. So I'm always dovek to the hand. Do I have the hana? Do I have the awareness and the resulting tainug of the fact that the hand is attached to me? After all, there are very few things that I'm dovik to as much as my hand. The answer is no. Because to be dovik in something requires, obviously, to be kosher, and simultaneously, there has to be the sense of otherness, that it could be different, that that evokes that sense of kesher. The sense of kesher is there because it's something that is, it's not mine, and now it's become bound up to me. In a malach, since all we have is the sense of kesher in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's him. He is Ratzon Hashem. So the fact that he's always dovok to it doesn't give the sense of dveikus that we would have. It gives a sense of dveikus like me and my hand. I mean, Baruch Hashem, my hand is part of me, and that's that. So there is no appreciation, no hakara for the hand as being dovok. When somebody is, let's take Ish V'Isha, on the one hand, she was once part of Adam, then she was taken away, and now when Adam looks for her, it says the Dovak Beishtoi, the fact that we were different people and then came around to finding each other, if we are Dovuk, then we have the Hanoah of Dveikus. So the Hanoah of Dveikus, to be Dovuk, in the sense that Vahavta relates to it, requires something that I'm away, distant from it, and yet choose to become Nisdabek to it. So since we have a Yetzirah, we really are not there. We start out by liking many things other than what we're supposed to do. And in the struggle to be Nisdabek to Baruch Hu, is where you recognize the Hanah of the Dveikus, where you recognize that. On the other hand, if it's Malachim who don't have the struggle, so that there's no, it's not meaningful to them to have it otherwise. Let's take an example, I guess on a day-to-day, simple example. People are learning in yeshiva, and we have different levels of people. And one person is very bright, very, very studious kind of person, bright, and he just absorbs the sheer and sponges it up effortlessly, share whatever he's learning. So of course we tell him, no, it's a matan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it didn't have to be that way, take a look how many people are working and learning, working so hard to learn, it's going so on and so forth. The person sincerely appreciates it, it's nice, it's fine, it's good, but it's very hard to say that he has a sense of otherwise. There is no otherwise. I mean, as far as he's concerned, he's kulei kosher. The person who has a very hard time at it, doesn't have such a good head, doesn't hop so quick, he gets distracted easily, doesn't particularly enjoy learning more than any other activity. When he does it, he deheres the dveikus in the learning in a way that the first person doesn't. Simply because he also has in himself the other side. So the Hanah of Dveikus is only manifest, or most manifest, when there is a possibility for otherwise. That's where. And Malachim, since they don't have the possibility for the otherwise, then they don't have any Mahalach of... They don't have the Mahalach of Dveikus coming through Torah and Mitzvahs. I want to just add a little bit more. So you have here an extraordinary vikuach here. You have an extraordinary vikuach, Moshe Rabbeinu and Malachim, who should get the Torah. Now, what is that? L'mayin afkemina. Yes, there are people who study the great battles, the Sha'avar and so on, but what is the struggle? What exactly is it? And the answer is like this. Torah is the picture of a perfect world. This is the way a person looks when he is B'Shleimus. Now, If that's the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it certainly is the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us a Sefer, and his Ratzon is that this is the way the world should look. So given a choice between two groups, who should get it? Obviously, Malachim should get it. Malachim are as close as being perfect. They're ready to do everything in a flesh. They will have the results instantly if they don't have it already. So Torah Mitzadetz Metzias belongs in the world of Elyonim, in the world of Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu's tshuva was, and this is, I think, the Loisa says, when it says Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinach, it's not just the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning us away from different things. everything could be written positively. The perfect world is everybody's nice, kind, good, fine, and so on. Instead, what he's saying is the Torah is a sefer of emes. It describes something as leitirzach, when you have the intense desire to kill somebody. You need not to kill him. And when you have the intense desire to be noyif, you need not to be noyif. That is the Torah is not about what the bottom line looks like, what the end result looks like. Torah is about where our striving, because the dveikus is realized in the striving rather than the end result. So just like, if let's say, for instance, I'm trying to train somebody to have self-discipline and so on, and I tell them, you know, come here, I want you to plow this field within one day. You should plow the field, and this way it'll teach it to get up early in the morning, because you have to plow early in the morning, it'll teach it to be this, that, the other thing, whatever. I have a whole litany of things it'll teach it. I come back a day later, it's plowed beautifully. I tell him, Jack, great going. He says, well, actually, I hired a group of people on my cheshbon to do it. And my jaw drops, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, I mean, I realize how important it is for you to have the field plowed. I was a bit lazy and I was afraid maybe I wouldn't finish it and wouldn't do it and whatever. So I got somebody. So the person has got the message wrong. I may need the field plowed and planted, but what I wanted from him was to do it, much more than to have it be it. The Torah is the realization of Shlemus by struggling for it. And that's why Torah is written not as the model of how things should look. It's written with the commandments, Loi, and, you know, and Tasu. It's written in terms of you shall and you shouldn't, meaning really that when you're inclined to kill somebody because you really, really despise him and he's whatever it is, the nasty to you and so on, do not kill him. There has to be a sort of a kumvase in that. And that's only realized when there's Ra and Yetzirah. So Torah itself, by stating things in terms of you shall or you shouldn't, is automatically telling me you are inclined to do X. By not doing it, you become closer to me. So the modus of Torah is not simply the perfection of the bottom line of it. It's the working towards that goal that makes the person what he ought to be. Okay, any questions?
Are we still gonna? What does it mean at the end of the day to be Oyud Hashem b'chol levavcha?
So b'chol levavcha means I harness my desire. At the bottom line, if when a person has a powerful desire and urge, we need to split it into the koyach hanefesh of wanting and how it's expressing itself. Let's look at when you have children, it's much easier to see. You have a child who's a particularly strong-minded young man or woman, and one day it's a toy that there's a machlokes between him and his brother whose it is, and he is ferociously defending it, and he wants the toy b'chol moedei. 3 weeks later, it's about going with his father on a trip or whatever it is. So on the one hand, it sounds like it's two separate issues. You know, there's the issue of the toy, there's the issue of the trip. But if you look at the kid, if you might break him, it's almost as if there's a drill with different bits. You have just the energy of I want. And if I want, I feel that my realization, myself, is realized through attaining my desire. It's a lot deeper where there's a particular, the child is as adamant about the toy as he is about the trip, as he is about something else, because the pnimius of any particular rutz is rutz in itself. That's so, as long as part of the person's energy of rutzen is in somewhere else. So imagine I have this power line that I can power a few appliances on it, but each one subtracts from the cholistic power. It's like when you have Wi-Fi, and it has to spread itself over a lot of people that are using it, like on a train or whatever it is. Everyone has less, slower, this and that. I have koach rutzen, and all of my energy of self is bound up in it. If my koach rutzen has taken on different expressions, then they're one at the price of the other. The b'chol levavcha means that it's all focused on one thing and one thing only, and other things don't make a difference. It's like imagine a person looking for a restaurant. So one person is just likes food, and that's what he wants. So his only thing is that he wants a place that has the best food. One person is very, very conscious about the price, and the only thing is he wants something that will not bust his budget. A third person is looking to make a business deal, and all he wants to figure out is what atmosphere will be most favorable to get the business deal. So each one of these people will make a 100% decision based on exactly what he wants. If he has two things that he wants, he likes food a lot, and he likes also ambience, so he's going to compromise a bit, and he's going to choose a place that's, the food is not the best, but it's good, but the decor is also very nice. So if a person's koach ha-rotzen is bound up with more than one thing, then it'll split itself, it'll dampen itself, because it's split in a few different ways. That's the b'chol levavcha shnei tzarecha. It means that you have to suck out the koach ha-rotzen that's trapped in rutzen of ra, and it's just like, I mean, going back again to it. When a person has a craving for X, Y, or Z, there's the physical craving itself, and then there's the rutzen that this is what I want, and this will make me happy, and so on. And the person, Avodas Hashem, in the big picture, is to channel all those rutzonos to one rutzen. Okay. Good. So, good Shabbos and good Yom Tov.
Yom Tov. All right. Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. All the best. Call.
Thank you. Chag Sameach.